Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now I'm joined on the line by Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport, and Fine Gael TD for Limerick County. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire. Morning to your listeners.
So you're tabling this motion of confidence later on today, defending Simon Harris's record, and this is in a bid to preempt the motion of no confidence in him. Why did you and the government decide to bring it forward by a week?
Well, look, I think the most important thing here is that, first of all, that we're able to deal with Simon Harris's record, not just as tarnished as Taoiseach and as minister, but as well as that, that we're able to deal with some of the issues that have been referred to by Ian too, and that we'll deal with them this week. And at the outset, look, I just want to add my words of sympathy to Harvey's parents, you know, under excruciating loss. I'm a father of three small children myself. And I don't really know what it's like, and I don't think anyone who hasn't lost a child will ever know what it's like that they're going through. But I think from my point of view as a parent, the one thing that I want to see is improvements to our health services for our children and for people who aren't children as well across the board. And I think that there's an opportunity in the Dáil today and next week to set out from the government's point of view, and with the Minister for Health, and I spoke to the Minister for Health this morning on this, the standpoints that are being taken by the government over the last number of years and at the moment in respect of children's health.
Just on the timing, I suppose, listening to what you've said there and taking it at face value, you could have given the Minister for Health and the Taoiseach this week to deal with those issues and make progress on them. And then in that case, it would make more sense to have the motion next week.
Well, to be fair, these issues have been dealt with anyway, Claire. You know, it's not as if the Minister for Health is going to start work this week. We've an excellent Minister for Health in Jennifer Karen McNeill. She was in Limerick with me during the week, opening a 96-bed block that Simon Harris, when he was Minister for Health, oversaw the commencement of. So like, it isn't that Jennifer Karen McNeill is starting work this week, to be fair. So it's an opportunity today. Look, we know that A&2 have obviously decided that they're going to go down a political route here. That's their prerogative. They're entitled to do that.
Well, Patrick O'Bean describes what you're doing as a trick. You know, he's saying that he might be able to put a motion of no confidence in the entire government next week to try and foil what you're doing.
And look, if he wants to do that, you know, that really then, you know, that really underlines that what this was about was politics as opposed to children's health. This is an opportunity for us to, we're clearing the decks today from a government point of view in terms of government business in the Dáil, and we're going to lay out in very clear terms what has been done, what is being done. There have been failures, there's no doubt about that, and I'm not, as a father, condoning in any way what hasn't been done for children who haven't been properly served. But by the same token, you know, we have made huge strides in the last number of years, and we're going to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. We have a record investment into health this year, and we can see the fruits of it in places like UHL that for many, many years have been really abandoned in terms of capital investment.
Yeah, we see people don't take that anymore, you know, from Fine Gael, because you've been in government so long. You can't just sit there and say, oh, there have been failures. You're the people who were in charge here over all of those years.
And there are clinicians and there are managers in the HSE. There's individual hospital management, there's CHI, there's a difference between CHI and the HSE. There's a multiplicity of issues for donkey's years in relation to failures in health. And they're probably, unfortunately, you know, there will be issues into the future as well. As somebody who was misdiagnosed myself as a patient, it's not as if that I'm not, and that individuals around the country are not immune from situations where health issues are going to arise on an individual basis. And I'm not condoning that. What I am saying is that we have a government at the moment that is clearly focused, and there are parents, grandparents in that government who are, you know, absolutely at one that we have to do better by the children who seek assistance. And it's not only children, it's adults as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we have been in government a long time, but, you know, and I have been on this programme with you several times as well, and we can all retrack history, Claire. An awful lot of the time that we were in government, we hadn't a shilling, and we only have it in the recent past. And yeah, you know that as well as I do.
So, I mean, you say that Patrick O'Bean is playing politics, and he...
I didn't say that.
Well, I think you did, or at least very close to it. Do you want to clarify what you say he's doing?
I think that, like, there's if based on what he said this morning on Morning Ireland, he's considering having another motion next week.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing to do would be listen today to what the government have laid out in terms of health policy. We've only had the capital plan. We've only had the budget, the largest budget in the history of the state, which was on top of the largest budget in the history of the state in relation to health. And I think that if there is to be another motion next week, well, then that proves that it is just about politics.
Okay, so you think he's trying to drive it into next week, so it may have an impact on the presidential election?
We'll see if that's what he does. I'm not sure. On Morning Ireland this morning, he said he had no one to vote for in the presidential election, and he was considering, for instance, where he stood on Spoil the Vote. So is this really about health, or is it about, you know, the fact that he doesn't have a horse in the race? I genuinely don't know.
Right, well, he would say that you're bringing it back into this week to avoid pushing it into next week so that it doesn't have an impact on the presidential election.
I mean,
so have you concerns around that if there motion of no confidence either in Simon Harris or in the government next week, that could have an impact on the presidential?
You've interviewed me on umpteen occasions with regard to individual motions of no confidence. And it has always been the procedure that when a motion of no confidence is being proposed by the opposition, what always happens, is that a motion of confidence, whether that's in the government or in an individual minister or the Taoiseach or Tánaiste, is tabled by the government. So, like, we're not rewriting history here, and to be suggesting that for people who, you know, who mightn't be as attuned to political dynamics as you and I are, we both know that's not the case.
Okay, well, let's move on then. And we have all been paying close attention to what's been happening in the Middle East. But when it comes to the Occupied Territories Bill, can you explain to people listening why you feel we still need the Occupied Territories Bill now that we have this ceasefire?
Well, first of all, I think everybody has breathed a huge sigh of relief with regard to the ceasefire. And please God, this will work. And you know, we've seen an end to the killing, and we've seen the remains of hostages being returned, which must be horrific for their families, and the living hostages returned as well. So now we have to turn our attention to rebuilding Gaza and rebuilding what is an absolutely decimated society. Mm-hmm. And Ireland has led within the European Union, in many cases in a very isolated way, for the last 2 years to try and convince people that we needed to bring pressure to bear. A lot of countries didn't do that. And in the fullness of time, they'll have to reflect on their roles in this. But Ireland's role in this has been very clear from the outset in terms of our diplomacy, in terms of our soft diplomacy, needed to bring people to the table.
But do we still need the Occupied Territories Bill, do you believe?
Well, the government is committed to the Occupied Territories Bill. And I know that there's to be meetings between the AG, the Attorney General, and the Taoiseach and Tánaiste on this going forward in the next week or that. I think that's what the Taoiseach said in the Dáil yesterday. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But look, the priority here is to rebuild a society that has absolutely been flattened. And Ireland has strong history here in terms of our non-governmental organisations, but as well as that in terms of direct aid to making sure that we actually physically can rebuild a society. So I'm more concerned, to be quite honest about it, today to make sure that the Irish government plays its part in rebuilding the hospital network, the water infrastructure, housing and things like that, to make sure that the absolutely catastrophic situation, because while the bombs have stopped, the situation for the people there isn't going to get better. You know, they're going to
start. The bill then is not a priority for you. That's what you're saying.
Well, that's a nice try, Claire. I didn't actually say that.
No, you did. You said your priority is on rebuilding.
The bill is a priority. The bill is a priority for the government, and I'm a member of the government. But I think our collective focus at the moment has to be on making sure that what we do is turn our attention to the victims of what was an unprecedented and unprovoked and absolutely totally unnecessary war.
But if it's just goods that are restricted and not services, it would make it really pointless, wouldn't it? Because you'd have no restrictions then on things like tech, on IT, on tourism, on infrastructure services.
We have to wait and see about that, first of all, and we have to make sure that whatever we do is legally sound, not just at home, but in the European courts as well. And that has always been our position. And I think that's the position has been well enunciated between Simon Harris and the bill's original sponsor, Francis Black. There's no point in us proposing a bill that's illegal or contravenes law, either domestic or international or European. So, you know, it hasn't been taken off the agenda. That's very clear. But what we'll do is we will progress a bill that is legally sound, that is binding, and that if it is challenged, that it will stand up to legal challenge.
Uh-huh. You're not concerned about the economic impact if it does include services?
My concern at the moment, as I said a while ago, is to the victims of an unprecedented war who need relief today. And yeah, there are legal mechanisms, and Ireland has been to the fore in relation to legal mechanisms for the last 2 years in terms of recognising the Palestinian state, in terms of trying to bring the European Union to a position mm-hmm. where we would renegotiate the EU-Israeli agreement, which other countries decided not to do. So when it comes to an Irish government's position acting internationally, we have been head, neck and shoulders above our peers in the European Union. And it is for them to answer in time, and I'm sure they'll have to answer this in time, could this debacle and this absolute atrocity have been brought to a close earlier? It definitely could have been.
Now, let's move on to what you're launching today, this National Fitness Framework. And in the release on this, we're told that the government believes physical inactivity is a major public health challenge. Mm. It's the fourth leading cause of mortality globally, on a par with smoking, which is extraordinary. But we know now that the biggest game changer in this whole area is the wider availability of weight loss injections. Do you believe that the availability of those or their use in general should be brought further into the mainstream in Ireland?
Well, look, I'm not a clinician and I'm not Minister for Health. I'm Minister for Sport. And our role in this is in the action plan of physical activity is what it says on the tin. It is Ronseal. It is to get people active. And, you know, I think I leave medical advice with regard to the pharmaceutical engagement of an individual or a patient to their clinician and to their general practitioner. My focus is on making sure that the largest budget that we got for sport increased this year by nearly 11 million euros, that I get it spent, that we have a large scale sports infrastructure fund, that we have a community sports grant that we're going to roll out in the spring, and that we're going to continue to invest in sport all over the country to make sure that people have the opportunities to walk, particularly in rural areas, because even places where I live, you can't walk the roads at night because they're too dangerous. So that's why we're giving GAA clubs, soccer clubs and others the opportunity to put in walking tracks and get people walking, because if you add walking into routine physical activity and exercise, it comes up to over 70%. So a lot of people are actually moving. We want them to move more, and we need them to move more, and we all collectively need to move more, because this is something that is really serious in terms of type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. in terms of obesity and in terms of the cost to the state. But it's also in terms of people's well-being, in terms of their mental health. It is good to get out. It's good to get a bit of fresh air.
Yeah, well, we're doing well, though, in the context of Europe. The European average is 6% when it comes to people who move five times a week, so engage in some sort of physical activity. Mm. In Ireland, it's 14%, which isn't bad. But there are no tax breaks for gym membership in Ireland. I know there's a government commitment to explore that. Where's that at? Yep. Were you pushing for that in the budget just gone?
So this is budget one of five budgets. And, you know, you will have seen a significant investment by my department into, for instance, the academies for the Football Association of Ireland, for the Gaelic Players Association, for the GAA, for women in sport, for rugby. So we've achieved an awful lot. Year one of our five-year programme, we're never going to achieve everything in year one, but we have a programme for government that we're going to work through over the next 5 years, and I'm committed to doing that. As I am, you know, we had a big investment into the FAI for soccer academies. I'm also committed, we started it this year, for the development of hurling in non-hurling counties, and in those hurling counties that have pockets where there isn't hurling, we're also committed to working with the GAA in this. And I met the president of the GAA last week and gave him an assurance that we will not only provide current money over the next 4 years, but we'll also provide significant capital money for the development of hurling.
Yeah, I suppose it's just convincing people who don't get out and walk and don't do any physical activity. I mean, where do you start?
You start in your local community, and that's why I want to thank the soccer clubs, GAA clubs, rugby clubs for the most basic of facilities that they have decided to put in, including my own GAA club in Monaghan in County Limerick, where they have put in, for instance, a walkway around the field. We live in a very isolated rural area. It's dangerous to walk the roads at night. The committee came together. They decided to seek sports capital funding to put in a walkway. It has made it an awful lot safer, and the same has been replicated all over the country. And that's, I think, that's the starting point for people to actually get out.
Well, cycling, of course, is a great help as well, and safer cycling, removing more cars from the road. I know some Fine Gael backbenchers over the years have had an issue with that. Are you in favour of making towns and cities more cyclist friendly?
Well, I'm a cyclist and I'm also a driver, so I have no problem with either. And I mean, I live in an area where I don't just cycling. I don't do enough of it. I need to do more of it. I come cheek by jowl with tractors, mowing machines, you know, milk lorries, you name it. And I don't have a difficulty with it. Most road users and most motorists.
It's very dangerous.
Well, most motorists, to be fair, are conscious of the fact that they, you know, that there are other road users. There will obviously be dangerous drivers. There are obviously, and they're in urban areas and in rural areas. And we can do more. We can do more in terms of local authorities signing roads and marking roads. I wouldn't deter people from cycling. It's a great way of getting out. It's a great way of, you know, in terms of your own mental health, being alone with your thoughts, to push out half an hour or an hour around the roads. It's fabulous. And, you know, it's a great way to be on your own for a while. I highly recommend it.
All right, and thank you very much for joining us. That's Patrick O'Donovan there. Coming up next, we're going to hear about this extraordinary story. It's part of a new RTE podcast about a couple pursued for years for committing a crime against their child that never happened. That's after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.